Blog Talk Radio.
This is not a time to get distracted. This is not a time to go off course. This is not a time to lose your focus. Got a word for you for the Lord, and you cannot afford to lose your way. You come too far from where you started, so please don't let the time you stole be wasted on things that you'll later regret, wishing you never.
Heartbeat of God with Stacy Lunsford, the pastor of poetry. I would like to welcome you to our Sunday night series on what kind of pastor do you have? In our foundational scripture, I just want to give out the scriptures that we're going to be using tonight. And for those of you that are following along with me, I will be using the King James Version. And when I use a different translation, I will let you know. But our first scripture is going to be Hebrews, the 13th chapter and the 17th verse. Then 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, 2nd through the 4th verses. And then we will be visiting Jeremiah, the 3rd chapter, verse 15, Jeremiah 23 and verse 4, 34 and verse 23, and John 21 and verse 17. And our final scripture will be Acts 20th chapter, verse 28. So I wanted to provide the scriptures in advance so that you can be prepared once I get to that particular scripture. Today, we are going to be talking about pastors, the type of pastor that we have or that you may have. We're going to talk about the role of a pastor, like what is a pastor? What does a pastor do? And when it comes down to pastoring, how are you being pastored? Like, how is your pastor pastoring or shepherding you? How do you determine what kind of pastor you have? Do you weigh what kind of pastor you have based on the word, what your mother said or your father said or your grandmother said? Do you base what kind of pastor you have based on the word of God? And I'm taking the time to present these questions because many times we go to a church, not so much that we want to go, but we go because that's our family's church, that's my mother's church, that's my father's pastor. And whatever the pastor says, everybody is just going by what that, and I'm not saying that's wrong or is right, but we need to understand why we do the things that we do. We need to understand why we attend the church that we attend, and we need to understand what type of we have. And part two of this series is going to be what type of member are you? So we're going to lay down a foundation tonight that will allow us to understand from a biblical perspective what a pastor is and what a pastor is required to do from a biblical perspective, not based on people's expectations. Many pastors are placed in a box. People like to dictate them and tell them what to do, and that's not biblical. When you are a part of a church, you are under that pastor's biblical authority over your life, and we should all submit the biblical authority of that pastor over our lives as unto the Lord. So those are some of the things that we're going to be talking about. Now, this topic is important to me because I'm talking to a lot of people that are leaving the church, and they're leaving the church because they're not being pastored. The pastor did something that hurt them or disappointed them, and long story short, there's an unmet need. And when people leave church angry, hurt, mad, sad, whatever, it really catapults them to a whole level of spiritual warfare because the enemy of their souls is waiting to pounce on them. And if you are at the church and you're not happy or something is not going to go, you should be able to ask for to meet with your pastor to discuss the situation. So there are many, many reasons that this topic is what kind of pastor do you have? Because some pastors are not reachable. Some pastors are not teachable. Some pastors have so many bodyguards, you can't even get to them. So how do you know if you have a pastor that is really following the biblical principles of God's word versus having a pastor that is simply doing what he wants to do and is living any kind of way they want to live? So in regards to you and your membership, what kind of member are you? Are you submitted to your pastor? Are you making difficult for your pastor? Are you your pastor? Are you making his job or her job easier? So these are just some of the things that we're going to be talking about. And it's a very interesting topic. It's a topic that requires prayer. And at this point, I'm going to say a prayer and welcome God to take complete control over this teach tonight. So, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you and we praise you for another opportunity to share the gospel. We ask that you would have your way tonight. I pray that you will lead those to this message that need to hear it. Many people don't know what a pastor is. Many people don't know what the function of a pastor is. And then sometimes they do know God, but their pastor may not be operating from a biblical perspective. And this causes a lot of confusion, heartache, and pain. And sometimes people just leave. Sometimes they stay and they're unhappy. But my goal tonight is to share the unadulterated word of God. And Jesus, you would release revelation knowledge. I pray that you will remove scales from blinded eyes so that they may see your word. And even though I'm speaking and I'm teaching tonight, but I pray that they will hear you, God. Let me decrease so that you increase and take complete control. Thank you for spiritual wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Amen. So thank you for joining me tonight. And this is another opportunity to share with God. And I'm going to ask you to turn to Hebrews, the 13th chapter, and verse 17. Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verse 17, and I will be reading from the Amplified Version. And the Word of God says, obey your spiritual leaders and submit to them, recognizing their authority over you. For they are keeping watch over your souls and continually guarding your spiritual warfare, your spiritual welfare, as those who will give an account of their stewardship. Let them do this with joy and not with grief and groans, for this would be of no benefit to you. And I'm going to read on B over again. Hebrews, the 13th chapter, and the last line in that, the last sentence in that verse. It says, let them do this with joy and not with grief and groans, for this would not be of benefit to you. So, pastors are accountable to God, and they must give an account how they are watching over you, how they are teaching you, how they are counseling you, protecting you. And when that pastor goes to God and he gives his account, God wants to know, is that member under that pastor's leadership Are they causing him or her grief? Are they causing them to groan? Are they causing them sorrow? Or are they causing them great joy? You see, we have a duty and we have a responsibility to obey our spiritual leaders. And the Word of God says that we are to submit to them, recognizing their authority over our lives. So I want to make it clear that, one, if we're going to submit to the biblical authority of God's Word, when we do join a church, it's important that we understand this scripture, because our pastors have authority over us, and they are our spiritual leaders, and as we submit to them as unto the Lord, they have a duty and a responsibility. And we're going to get into the duties of a pastor a little bit later. But I wanted to go over Hebrews 13:17 first, because it says, obey your spiritual leaders and submit to them, recognizing their authority over you. For they are keeping watch over your souls and continually guarding your spiritual warfare, as those who will give an account of their stewardship of you. And again, let them do this with joy and not with grief and groans, for this would be of no benefit to you. So point number one I want to make, if your pastor is not doing these things, it's not your place to correct your pastor. It's not your place to tell your pastor off. It's not your place to disrespect your pastor. It's not your place to disobey your pastor. If your pastor is over your soul, if your pastor is not guarding your spiritual welfare, if your pastor is not pastoring you, if you are not being fed, if you are not being shepherded, then you are to go to God in prayer and simply tell on your pastor. Many members take matters into their own hands and they disrespect the pastor, regardless of the circumstances. And I just want to share that that is not the way to handle it. Because right or wrong, the pastor must give an account to God for what he or she does or what they do not do. Members are accountable to the pastor of the church that they attend. If you go to a church but your name is not on a roll, you have not officially joined that church, you are not accountable to that pastor to a certain degree, but you are accountable to the word of God that you hear. But members are accountable to the pastors of the church that they attend. So many times people will join church and they don't understand what a pastor is or what a pastor needs to do. And this scripture clearly says that we are to obey spiritual leaders, which is a pastor, and submit to them. So the next time you join a church, or if you think about joining a church, or if you joined a church and you did not understand this scripture, now is a time to revisit this scripture, meditate and pray on this scripture, and just really ask yourself how submitted you are or how submitted you're not to your pastor. And then I want you to ask yourself a question. Am I obedient to my pastor as unto the Lord, or am I disobedient to my pastor? What's my attitude towards my pastor? Do I give my pastor a hard time, or am I kind, am I polite, or am I nasty, am I mean, am I confrontational? So some of the terminology that I'm going to use tonight is going to be repeated in part two when we deal with what type of member you are. But it's important that whatever category you fall in, that you take ownership of who you are and the type of member you are, and not based on the word of God in Hebrews 13:17. This is an opportunity to repent and to go to God and ask him for forgiveness. But it's also for you to let God know, hey, God, I have a problem in this area with the pastor, and you know, this happened, that happened, and that's why I do this, and I've been doing that. And just be honest with God. No matter what, don't allow the frustration, the hurt, the pain, or even whatever has disappointed you, don't allow that to stop you from being honest with God. And I promise you that if you really ask yourself these questions and you're honest with answering them, whatever the issue is, you're going to find peace, and God is going to lead you. God is going to guide you, and he's going to help bring resolution to the problem. So one of the reasons I felt led to do this teach on this topic is because many pastors are leading God's people astray. And when they leave them, when they lead them astray, this makes them, leaves them vulnerable. And as I said earlier, they become easy prey to the enemies of their soul. Now, the adversary, the devil, he's walking to and fro looking for somebody to devour. So when a member leaves a church and they are vulnerable and they are hurt, they are angry, they are disappointed, the enemy has an instrument, a tool waiting to meet that person, to cause a distraction, and to even feed on whatever it is they're feeling so that they can turn that little situation into a big stronghold. And that stronghold will prevent that person from going back to church. And these are some of the tactics of the enemy to keep people out of fellowship with God. And again, it's to keep us out of fellowship with God, because every church you become a member of is not about you and the pastor. It's about you and God. But if you are not submitted to your pastor, if you are not obeying your pastor, then what are you really saying to God? Are you obeying God as you disobey your pastor? Are you submitted to God while you're not submitted to your pastor? What's it about accountability? And so what happens? God is looking at our hearts. And sometimes our hearts are not right. Sometimes feelings get hurt. And sometimes we operate out of our feelings and out of our emotions. And we have to learn how to respond to the word of God. That's why when I opened up, I said, what kind of pastor do you have? You know, is it the kind of pastor, was your pastor big? Your mother or your father or the world or your grandmother, or was it based on the word of God? When we line up with the word of God and with the word of God to every area of our lives, we could see those areas where we are not living a principled life. So in regards to pastors that lead God's people astray, God is aware of this. God will correct everything that has been done. But we have a choice to lean to our own understanding and not trust God, or we can trust God and lean not to understanding and watch him work everything out. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust the Lord with all of thy heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge God, and he will direct our path. Well, do you want God to direct your path tonight? what kind of pastor do you have? Based on Hebrews 13 and 17, pastors are accountable to the members of his or her congregation. God, how they handle, cared for, or not care for their members. This is a biblical principle, and it is not optional. The pastor cannot do what he wants to do. Many of them do, and it's a high price that they pay for doing that. You see, the pastor has a duty and a responsibility, and so members of the church. Members are to submit to the biblical authority of their pastors over their lives, and they should not make things difficult for their pastor. Having said that, pastors have a duty and a responsibility as well, and they should not make things difficult for their members, and they should be good examples. They should lead an example. They should be just be good samples of what a good Christian leader is. And my next question, I ask a lot of questions, and are you submitted to the biblical authority of your pastor as unto the Lord, or are you not submitted? Or are you submitted to yourself and you don't have any accountability? And I want you to pause and think about that, because many members are out of order biblically, and it makes it difficult for the pastor to shepherd someone that is not submitted to them. All pastors that are called by God must give an account for every person that is under their leadership. All members that are called by God must obey their pastors. This biblical principle also, and this is not optional. So I want to pause here for a moment and just allow everyone to really perform self-examination and honest yourself. Am I obedient to my pastor as unto the Lord? And I want you to understand that when your pastor speaks, when he preaches, when he teaches, when he's talking to you, he is not speaking for himself. He is speaking under the unction of the Holy Ghost, and it is the Holy Ghost leading him and guiding him. Sometimes that's not always the case, and we get some pastors that are in the flesh, or they being led by an unholy spirit. But I'm talking about a pastor that has been called by God, anointed by God, that's being led by God. When he speaks, you're really hearing God speak. God is speaking through your pastor. So once we understand that, it's a little bit easier to submit and to obey. So if you are submitted to your pastor, if you are obeying your pastor, this pleases the Lord. And sometimes we have to obey even when we don't understand. But Hebrews 13 and 17, let's just read it again. It says, obey your spiritual leaders and submit to them, recognizing their authority over you. For they are keeping watch over your souls and continually guarding your spiritual welfare as those who will give an account of their stewardship over you. Let them do this with joy and not in groans, for this would be of no benefit to you. So I want to use Moses as an example. Moses was a wonderful spiritual leader. Many of the Israelites were submitted to the biblical authority that Moses had over their lives. Many of the Israelites were obedient to Moses. However, we did have some Israelites that rose up against Moses, and they caused him grief, they caused him to groan, and they caused him many sorrows. Even his sister, the prophetess Miriam, she mumbled and grumbled, put her mouth on Moses, and she ended up getting leprosy. And she paid a heavy price for not making it easy for her brother. God is not a respecter of persons. Yes, that was his sister, but it did not matter. His sister was out of order. She put her mouth on Moses, and as a result, she got leprosy. So the word says, let them do this with joy and not with grief and groans. How many of you know the story of Korah? Korah was a Levite, and Korah thought that he could do Moses' job better than Moses could, and he convinced a lot of spiritual leaders to follow him as he rose up against Moses. And as a result, the earth opened up and swallowed Korah and all of the people that followed them. And why am I bringing this up? I'm bringing this up because sometimes in the church, we get a group of people that love to cause grief, that love to cause problems, that love to cause discord. And when this happens, they will influence other people to cause trouble in the church, and it will cause a split in the church. It will cause division in the church. It will cause separation in the church. And that is not what Hebrews 13:17 is talking about. And most people that operate in the spirit of Korah, which Korah operated in the highest level of pride, just like Lucifer in Isaiah, the 14th chapter, when Lucifer said, I will, I will, I will. He thought that he would become bigger than God, and he wanted to usurp God's authority over his life, but he soon found out that he had no power to do that. But you see, Korah was very arrogant. Korah was very haughty. And we have a lot of members today that are haughty, that are prideful, and that think they can preach and teach and counsel and pray and oversee a church better than the pastor. Now, this is totally the Holy Ghost. I'm not in my notes at all. And I thank God for that download. And that's a wonderful example, because there is a spirit that is running rampant in the church. And that is the spirit of Korah, the spirit of disobedience. We have the spirit of Haman, which is a spirit of anger, an antagonistic spirit, and the spirit of Saul that is running rampant in the church as well. Saul, Haman, and Korah, they all operate in the spirit of pride. The spirit of Haman is very angry, very hostile, very antagonistic, like I said. But this spirit also works with the spirit of genocide. If you follow me on Facebook and the teach that I did on the midwives in Egypt, I did a serious teach on the spirit of genocide. So Haman got so angry with Mordecai that he wanted to kill him. And he ended up dying on the gallows that he prepared for Mordecai. Now, when it comes down to church hurt and division and separation in the church, you know, people that don't bring joy to the pastor, or they become grievous to him, or they cause problems and cause him to groan, this doesn't end well for them. And this is what the Word of God says. So I'm using biblical examples. I'm connecting it to Hebrews 13:17, but I'm providing the samples so that we can know the different type of members that we do have in the church, because everyone is not there because they want to grow in their personal relationship with God, and everyone is not there because they want to grow into spiritual maturity. Some are there just to cause trouble. Some are there because they're wounded, and wounded, you know, hurt people. Some people are miserable and they just want to be miserable. But there's a whole lot of people that genuinely love God and they just want to grow in their relationship and have a wonderful relationship with God. So those examples that I did share will be touching base with all of that in part two, when we get into what kind of members do you have. And I'm going to be prayerful in this series, because pastors that have been called by God, pastors that have been anointed by God, they have a duty and a responsibility to watch over your souls. They have a duty and a responsibility to guard your spiritual welfare. That means they are looking out for you. They are praying for you. Moses, going back to Moses and the Israelites as an example, Moses looked after the Israelites. Moses was in constant communication with prayer and through prayer with God, and Moses would intercede for the people. Moses would start early in the day, and the people would come to see him with all of their problems, and he would help them, and Moses would be so tired. But some of the people were obedient, and some of them were not. But it didn't stop him from doing what he needed to do. And I want you to know today that your pastor deals with a lot of personalities, with the various members of the church. The pastor of the church deal with a lot of attitudes, different characteristics, different behavioral levels. People get mad. People get upset. And sometimes they're very disrespectful. They say hurtful things. And the pastor has to walk in love. And this is not something that's always easy to do. So I'm asking you, while we go through this series, that you will join with me and lift pastors in prayer, because pastors need our prayers. They need support. They need encouragement. They need to be strengthened. So it's important to understand that all members of the church are not submitted to the biblical authority of their pastor. And it's equally important to know that not all pastors are submitted to the biblical authority of God's word. And eloquently speaking, when this happens, we hit a hot mess. We have a bunch of unsubmitted people moving and operating in the church without operation of God. Now, this is not biblical. And it is causing a lot of damage, and it's causing a lot of hurt in the church. When we have a pastor that is not submitted to the biblical authority of God's word, how can he pastor? Pause and think about that. When we have a pastor that is not submitted to the biblical authority of God's word, when this happens, how can he teach? Pause and think about that. Many times we see pastors that are not submitted to the biblical authority of God's word, and we don't do anything about it. We don't say anything. We go to church and we see things that are wrong. We see the spirit of error that's in operation. Now, don't get me wrong. We just can't go and talk to the pastor and say, hey, blah, blah, blah. No, we have to do things decently and in order. But to sit in a sanctuary, to sit in a service Sunday after Sunday or Wednesday with Bible study, and you know that that pastor is not submitted to the biblical authority of God's word because they're not preaching or teaching the truth, then that's grounds to question what kind of pastor you have, because you don't want to be led astray. And you don't want to be taught the wrong thing. But that's why it is so important that we study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So how much time do you spend reading the word of God? How much time do you spend meditating on the word of God? When you go to church, whether you listen online, whether you go to the building, whether you listening on Zoom or all of the different platforms made available since the pandemic started, you can watch on your phone, you can watch on your tablet. It really doesn't matter what platform you use, but what does matter is, are you following along in your Bible? or are you just listening to whatever the pastor says from the pulpit? And if that's all you're doing and you're not weighing what they're saying against the word of God, you're doing your own self-harm. You're doing yourself an injustice. Because that pastor can say whatever they want to say, they could teach, they could preach whatever they want to preach, and you'll never know if they're preaching out of context. You'll never know if they're saying something that God never said in his word. So I want you to add, with all of the scriptures that are already provided, I would like for you to add 2 Timothy, the second chapter, and verse 15. And I'm going to read it in the King James Version, and then I'm going to read it in the Amplified. And it says, study to show thyself approved unto God. This is between you and God. This is not between you and people. It's not between you and your pastor. It's not between you and your husband, your wife, or your children. This is personal. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So this is between you and God. You don't have to be ashamed, but you are accountable to rightly dividing the word of truth. And you don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a spiritual leader. But as you show yourself approved unto God, a workman needeth not to be ashamed, you have a duty and a responsibility to rightly divide the word of truth. So the reason I ask, do you have your Bible open when you're listening to the word of God? If you don't have it open, if you're not reading along, how do you know that that pastor is rightly dividing the word of truth? So this is one of the roles of a pastor. The pastor should rightly divide the word of truth. The pastor is to teach the unadulterated word of God. So let's break down 2 Timothy, the second chapter and verse 15 in the Amplified version. I really love the Amplified because it breaks it down in a way where you can just get better understanding. It says, study and be eager and do your utmost to present yourself to God, approved, tested by trial, a workman who has no cause to be ashamed, correctly analyzing and accurately dividing, rightly handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. Now, I love that version, and I love how it says correctly analyzing and accurately dividing, rightly handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. So if you are a sportsman, if you love sports, you are skillful in your sport and you invest time in learning your sport. If you like to play basketball, you get out there on that basketball court and you practicing, you playing ball with your boys. And if you like to play tennis, you on that tennis court and you giving it all you have. Well, if you love the word of God, you should rightfully handle the word of God and you should skillfully teach the word of God. I'm smiling. You can't see my smile, but I'm smiling because I love the various ways that God allows me to skillfully teach his word in a unique and dynamic way that captures the hearts of his people. God has given me a sphere of influence, and within that sphere of influence, through the downloads that he gives to me, whether it's visuals through the graphics that I create, the videos or the spoken word, the poetry, to me, that's my skill. And I want to practice my skill. I want to be good with my skill. I want to, you know, do it with a spirit of excellence. I want to please God. So we should all study to show ourselves approved unto God, that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So this is why it's important to know for yourself. When the pastor, whether it's church on Sunday or Wednesday for Bible study, whenever a scripture is being called out, you should be looking it up in your Bible and reading for yourself. and then do your homework at a later time to follow up, because many times the Holy Spirit will speak to you and give you a deeper revelation about that word. So going back to our topic, many pastors have been wounded in the church. And this is a topic that's taboo. This is a topic that's not talked about a lot. And through this series, we're going to deal with the church that pastors have received, because that's an area where God is calling me to stand in the gap in intercessory prayer. Many pastors are dealing with discouragement, despair, depression. Many pastors have committed suicide. Many pastors are in need of help, strength, support, and encouragement. So we do have many members that have also been wounded in the church. And this is another area that is in need of prayer, because too many people have been wounded in the church. Now, the truth is that some people get wounded in the church because pastors have been pastoring, but they're really not called to pastor. And what I mean by that is some pastors don't know how to pastor because, one, they are not submitted to the biblical authority of God's word. Some things I'm just repeating over and over again because I'm really relying on, I'm going back to Hebrews 13:17. Because that pastor has a duty and a responsibility to keep watch over your soul and to continually guard your spiritual welfare as they give an account. So their stewardship over you, how can they do that if they're not submitted to the biblical authority of God? I mean, they just can't. So if you have any questions, please just press #1 and I will address your questions, or you can place your questions in the comments and I will get back to you. But the truth is that some pastors don't know how to pastor because they are not submitted to the biblical authority of God's word. They don't understand biblical submission, and often they abuse their power and their authority. The truth is that some pastors do not have the gift of shepherding. They lack biblical understanding of how to shepherd God's people because they are functionally illiterate in their role as a pastor. The truth is that some pastors are called to evangelism and missions, and they have no business being in the pulpit because they was not called to pastor. They have been called to evangelize and to teach, but they have not been called to pastor. So when we get a pastor that is placed in a position where he has been given a church and a congregation and he is not submitted to the biblical authority of God's word, or he's halfway doing it, you can't halfway do it. You're either going to do it or you're not going to do it. But when a pastor that is called to evangelism is in a position where he say he is a pastor, he's going to do more evangelistic work than he is going to do pastoring. And the rapport that he needs to establish with the members of his church, some areas are going to be overlooked, some members are going to be neglected, and that's where that woundedness and that hurt comes in there. And sometimes they really don't know that they're not in the position that they need to be in. And sometimes the pastors that placed them in those positions, you know, they did so in ignorance. My people perish for lack of knowledge. So that is another reason why 2 Timothy, the 2nd chapter and verse 15, is so important. And I hope that the information that I'm sharing tonight is causing you to really ask some very good questions and to just pay attention to the things that you have observed and from your own personal experience and from what you have witnessed in church. So requires much prayer, much intercession, as many pastors are frustrated and are experiencing unhealthy relationships, even toxic relationships in the church. And when he or she speaks peace, the members are for war. Or we turn that around. When the member speaks peace, then the pastor is for war. And whenever that happens, we have an imbalance. And remember, our topic is, what kind of pastor do you have? So if you have a pastor that's not submitted to God, that is not walking in obedience to the word of God, and then the unhealthy relationships, the toxic relationships, the war, the peace, how are things going to function? Where is the unity in a situation like that? These are some of the things that to go into deeper discussion, and we need to go into prayer. Now, if you're listening to this message and you have been wounded by or hurt by your pastor, or if you are a pastor and you have been wounded by the members of your church or by your colleagues, this is an opportunity for you to perform healthy confrontation. And I would like for those that will take this challenge, I would like for you to get a piece of paper, and I would like for you to write a conference table at the top of the paper and then draw a line down the middle. And on the left side, I want you to write negatives. And on the right side, I want you to write positives. And I want you to write down all of the negative things that you are feeling, that you have experienced. And on the positive side, I want you to do the same, but write down all of the positive things, all of the positive experiences. And then as you look at that negative column, I want you to slowly go down that list, but I want you to invite the Holy Spirit to go through that list with you. And every negative thing, beginning from the point one, no matter how many entries you wrote, I want you to visit that negative thing that you wrote down. And I want you to associate the hurt, the pain, the disappointment, whatever it is, that negative thing that you wrote down caused you. And once you can articulate what it is, then I want you to give it to God. And once you give it to God and invite him into that situation, so two things will happen. One of two things can happen. God can say, okay, I'm going to heal you in this area. We could just get rid of this and throw it in the trash. It serves no purpose. It has no value in your life. But once God begins to heal you in that area and really shine his light in those dark areas for those negative things, if he says, okay, clean this up, and now we're going to move it over here to this positive column, then that's what we're going to do, because it serves purpose and it has value in your life. It was a painful lesson that you learned, and God is going to get the glory out of that, and he wants to build on that. So we're going to put that over in the positive column. But everything, and as that's the whole, you're going to follow that process through the whole list till you get down to the end. And then when you're over everything that you threw in the trash, you're going to say a simple prayer. And you're going to break every soul tie. You're going to break every diabolical tie. You're going to break every negative cords, anything that had you connected to that negative thing that happened to you, whether it was a traumatic experience, whether it was abuse, whether it was abandonment, whether it was rejection or isolation, whatever it is. You're going to forgive that person or persons, if it's more than one person, and you're going to forgive yourself, and you're going to receive the forgiveness of God. And then you're going to give it, you're going to throw that thing away because you don't need it anymore. You're not going to bring it up. You're not going to talk about it. And that's where I want to give you another scripture in Isaiah 43, chapter 43, 43rd chapter, verses 18 and 19. Where God tells us to remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old, but behold the new thing that is springing forth. So when we have members and pastors that are submitted to the biblical authority of God's word, when they are walking in obedience, we have unity, build harmonious relationships. And for every broken relationship, we want to mend broken relationships. And the goal is to come together on one accord. So functional illiteracy in the body of Christ is desperately needed. I meant functional literacy, not illiteracy. Functional literacy in the body of Christ is desperately needed so that people can learn who they are and what their function is. And that brings me to, what is a pastor and what does a pastor do? And how will I know? This is a question. How will I know if my pastor is following the biblical authority of God's word? And that's a wonderful question. And just off the top of your head, we know that pastors wear several hats, right? A pastor, he preaches, he or she, they preach the word on Sundays. They teach Bible study. They have prayer meetings. They pray for the members. They help the members. They counsel them. They go to the hospital. They officiate weddings, funerals, baptism, baby dedications. Like, they do so many things. And that's what we know to do, right? But what does the word of God say about pastoral relationships and what a pastor does? So I want you to go with me to the second scripture that I gave out today, which was 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, verse 2 and 4. And I pray that something said today is helping you, that is challenging you, and that is blessing you. So when I mentioned functional literacy in the body of Christ and how is desperately needed in the, you know, to help people to grow. So many people are wounded in the church and have left the church. They didn't leave their relationship with God, but they left the church because they tired of all of the nonsense happening in the church. Now, we do have some people that got mad at God because of how pastors misrepresented him. And then they left, and they stopped talking to God. They stopped fellowshipping. They stopped reading their word. And God understands that. And at some point, they'll get right with God. And maybe they will, maybe they won't. You know, I'm not the judge of that. I simply want to provide information to you so that areas where you have been stagnated, any areas where you have been stuck, any areas where you don't have proper understanding of what happened to you, these scriptures is going to help you. And if you have a prayer request, please feel free to inbox me. You can inbox me directly on Facebook, or you can email me at ariseandshine@aol.com, and I will respond to your inquiry. And for those of you that visit the webpage, you can also enter your you could present your questions, and you can present your prayer request as well. And if you would like to sign up for discipleship classes and mentoring, there is an option to do so as well. But right now we're going to go back to First Peter, the 5th chapter, verse 2 and 4. And we're going to learn what a pastor is and what a pastor does. And I'm going to read first from the King James Version, 1 Peter 5, beginning at verse 2. Feed the flock. You know what? Let me start at verse 1. The elders which are among you, I exhort you, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Now, our key verse is going to be verse number 2. And you can highlight that if you choose to. But that is going to be one of the foundational scriptures that I will be using throughout this series, along with Hebrews the 13th chapter and verse 17. one of the main duties and responsibility of a pastor is to feed the flock. But let's just get into verse 2. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Verse 3, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. So without adding anything and without anything away, the pastor's job is to feed the flock of God. The flock of God is the congregation. The congregation consists of all of the people that gather at that particular facility for Christian fellowship to hear the word of God, to praise, to worship, to pray together, to grow together. The pastor is responsible for feeding the flock of God. So let's take a look at the Amplified Version and see what this translation has to say. And beginning at verse 1, 1 Peter chapter verse 1, we're going to read verses 1 through 4. It says, I warn and counsel the elders among you, the pastors and spiritual guides of the church, as a fellow elder and as an eyewitness called to testify of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a sharer in the glory, the honor, and splendor that is to be revealed, disclosed, unfolded. Verse 2, King James Version said, feed the flock, right? So this says, tend, nurture, guard, guide, enfold the flock of God. That is your responsibility, not by coercion or constraint, but willingly, not dishonorably, motivated by the advantages and profits belonging to the office, but eagerly and cheerfully. Not domineering, as arrogant, dictatorial, or overbearing persons over those in your charge, but being examples, patterns, and models of Christian living to the flock, which is the congregation. And the last verse, verse 4, and then is revealed, you will win the conqueror's crown of glory. So there's a couple of things that I would like for you to write down. A pastor is responsible for nurturing you, guarding you, guiding you, and folding you in the flock of God. That is his responsibility or her responsibility. They should not force you. They should not force you. They should not tyrannical. They should not be harsh with you. They should be gentle, loving, and kind. They should do their job willingly. They should not be have to be forced to do it. They should be honored to do it. They should be motivated to do it. And they should do it eagerly and cheerfully. And I want to pause there for a moment. Are you yes or no? Don't need no other answers, no other conversation. Is yes or no answers. Is your pastor tending to you? Is your pastor nurturing you? Is your pastor girding you? Is your pastor folding you? is your pastor doing eagerly and cheerfully? Or does your pastor have an attitude? Is your pastor constraining you? Is your pastor uneasy, disgruntled, not happy about his role as pastor in your life? Like, what kind of pastor do you have? Because God is telling us right here what a pastor does. And it's telling us what a pastor should not do. So my next set of questions is, do you have a domineering pastor? Is your pastor arrogant? Is your pastor dictating to you all of the time? Is your pastor overbearing? Is your pastor displaying patterns and models in living? Is your pastor puffed up with pride? Your pastor a humble man that is fully submitted to Thank you so much for staying with me. I apologize for the technical difficulties. We were disconnected temporarily. I lost my connection. So I was asking different questions about what kind of pastor you have. And I was sharing that I had to ask all of these questions that I'm asking you now. I had to ask myself. I had to perform self-examination, and I had to be honest with God. You know, whenever you share the word of God, during that time of preparation, that word is going to minister to you first. And there are some things that I want to revisit, because earlier I mentioned that a pastor wears several hats. They preach sermons, they teach Bible study, they oversee prayer meetings, they counsel members, they do all of these things, and that's fine. But as we go back to the Word of God, they are to nurture, and I'm changing the tone of my voice, because when a pastor is tender, you'll know it. When a pastor is loving and nurturing, and he's guarding and guiding and watching over you, you will know it. You will feel it. You see, Jesus is the good shepherd, and Jesus is watching over us. Jesus is nurturing us, guarding us, guiding us. The Holy Spirit is here with us, and we have the best teacher ever. But I want to make it perfectly clear that a pastor's job is to feed the flock. So I have a few more scriptures that I would like to share with you. And after review of these scriptures, and these are the ones that I asked you to write down at the beginning of this teach. So I would like for you to join me at Jeremiah, the third chapter and verse 15. And again, we're talking about the topic for tonight is, what type of pastor do you have? And our foundational scripture came from Hebrews 13 chapter, verse 17. We stopped at 1 Peter, the fifth chapter, verses 1-4. To the role of a pastor, what a pastor does. And right now, we finish reading in the King James Version, 1 Peter 5, verses 1 through 4 in the King James Version. Then we read it in the Amplified Version, and we got a better, a clearer understanding of the role and the function of a pastor and how a pastor should operate, interact, care for, love, guard, and protect the people of the sheep of the flock, the congregation. So these are some scriptures during my study about feeding the flock. And this is what the Word of God says. And I wanted to take my time to share all of these scriptures with you because it is that important to God. The pastors are, the pastors and spiritual leaders are required to feed the flock of God. And when you feed the flock of God, they must rightly divide the word based on 2 Timothy, the second chapter, in verse 15. So Jeremiah 3:15, and I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. So for those of you that are taking notes, I want you to feed you with knowledge and understanding. Okay, we're to go to Jeremiah verse 23 and verse 4, and then we're going to go